After the success of last year's inaugural event, the Queen is bringing her book club back to Hampton Court Palace. The Queen's Reading Room is promising to be even bigger and better than last year's event and will once again gather authors, experts, actors and literature lovers for a day celebrating the written word set against the magical backdrop of Hampton Court Palace on June the 8th. The Queen's Reading Room is a charity led by Her Majesty Queen Camilla to celebrate and promote the power and benefits of reading. It's on a mission to help more people find and connect with books which enrich their lives. This year's star-studded lineup includes the stars of Harry Potter, Miriam Margolyes and Helena Bonham Carter, as well as historian Tracy Borman and one of my favourites, classicist Mary Beard.
I'm Mary Beard and I'm a classicist and I used to be professor of classics at Cambridge.
We're here to talk about the Queen's Reading Room because that's where you're going to be appearing on the 8th. Is this something you've done before and is it something you're looking, I guess it's something you're looking forward to?
I'm really looking forward to it. I haven't done it before, but I've always hoped for an invitation, partly because I think that the Queen is being brilliant at supporting literature on the ground, you know, getting people reading. And I've long wanted to be a part of it, so I'm very pleased to have been invited.
Well, it's only a second year, so you're not too late to the game. We're only in year two. Last year's event was amazing, and it truly is a celebration of all kinds of literature, not just pigeonholed into one type, is it?
No, I think that's what's really exciting. And I think that, you know, that I'm being paired with Alex Michalidis for our event is kind of typical of that, that here I am, a professional student of the ancient Greek world. Alex is an amazing novelist who's got Cypriot heritage and who weaves in the classical world into his novels. So, you know, we're coming at the ancient world from very different angles, and I hope that's going to be exciting. But I do think it's what these events do so well, actually.
And people who are coming to see you, what will you be talking about and what can they expect? There's so many questions I could ask you, but we would be here all day. So for this event...
Well, I hope so. I haven't discussed this with Alex yet, so I don't want to commit him to something that that he doesn't know about. But, I mean, we do want to talk about novels in part, and I think quite a lot of people don't sort of associate classical literature with the novel. I think that the novel was invented, you know, well after the Renaissance. But actually, there are some extraordinary novels written under the Roman Empire. So I hope we're going to talk a bit about that. But I shan't be able to resist talking a little bit about Roman emperors, which I've just written a book about, and I will get a few emperors into the story. But I hope also we'll get a chance to think about how differently we approach the classical world, why it's still worth reading classical literature, why it's still worth thinking about ancient things. And it's going to be pretty free-flowing, but I'm looking forward to it.
Do you think that classical literature has fallen by the wayside in terms of you know, what children are being taught today in schools?
Well, I think the conventional answer to that would be yes, I do think it's fallen by the wayside a bit. But I think that's balanced by an extraordinary flowering, really, of modern novelists, particularly women, looking at the classical inheritance, looking at classical myth, and, for example, trying to retell those stories to a modern audience. You look at what, for example, Natalie Haynes has done.
I love Natalie Haynes.
She's great, and she's been thinking about how you say, well, let's take the story of the gorgon-headed monster female Medusa, right? What would it have looked like from Medusa's point of view? So I think one of the signs, really, that classical literature isn't going away fast is that people, Natalie's only one, who there are plenty of people who are still engaging with it, still retelling the stories. You know, they're still bestsellers. So the classics is, you know, still doing very well, thank you. And I think for good reason, because classical literature and classical mythology does, it tunnels down into some of the most basic questions about of humanity, about loyalty, about what it is to be a decent person, about revenge, adultery, you name it.
And I know this festival, the aim, they want to get people of all ages involved. When you go and speak to people, do you find young people particularly, there is a yearning to learn and to hear about these stories?
Yeah, I mean, I think what's exciting really about the classical inheritance is it's not as you might have imagined. It's not a kind of old person's thing. That, you know, when I give talks about the ancient world, what's really, really exciting is that there are people of every age. There are people, you know, from kids under 12 to, you know, people older than me, even.
You turn on the television today and you can see very gritty dramas, but actually the novels and the classics are sometimes even grittier than what we're seeing on television today.
Yes, and you know, that when they look at these big issues, loyalty, revenge, treachery and so forth, they don't pull any punches, you know, that it's... you know, you see murderous revenge and the consequences of that. I mean, you know, when I say that, you know, sometimes people are tempted and do put trigger warnings on Greek myths, I'm not joking, because they, you know, they face difficulty head on. You know, this is, it isn't a question of concealing or being euphemistic about the problems that confront humanity. It is absolutely looked on straight in the eye.
And can I ask, what inspired your love when you first started out, or when you were in school, of the classics?
I think I started, actually, I have to confess, not with the literature. I started with the material culture of the ancient world. And my first memory, really, is not about Greece and Rome, but it's actually about ancient Egypt. And I was taken when I was 5 by my mum to the British Museum. And I was desperate to see a piece of ancient Egyptian 4,000-year-old cake in the back of a case, but I couldn't quite see it. And a guy walked past, could see me struggling to look. And he asked me, did I want to see anything in particular? And I said, yeah, I want to see that piece of cake, Egyptian cake. And he must have been a curator, because he put his hand in his pocket, he got the keys out, and then he got the cake out of the case for me and held it right in front of my eyes. And I think that kind of sense of wonder and awe, and it was magic. That sense stayed with me ever after. And although I didn't learn hieroglyphs, I did learn Latin and Greek at school, and I began to explore what lay behind that kind of material culture and discover the extraordinary literature of Greece and Rome that survives in abundance. And there's something for everyone's taste, I think, in it.
And Hampton Court Palace, of course, it's a historic building. It's a beautiful building. There's so much history weaved within it. It's lovely, isn't it, that that's going to be the setting for the Queen's Reading Room?
Yeah, that is just stunning. And I feel very pleased, not just about all the kind of entertainments and pop-up food and all the rest, but Hampton Court is a palace that is actually full of references to the ancient world. I mean, the most famous are Mantegna's Renaissance paintings of the Roman Victory Parade, or Triumph, that are, you know, really some of the masterpieces of world art. But there are Roman emperors and Roman themes, you know, hiding around every corner in Hampton Court Palace. It's not just about Henry VIII. So I'm looking forward to having a good snoop round too.
We know the Queen loves reading, but do you know what her favourite novels are, or her favourite books, or her favourite themes?
I have absolutely no idea what's on the Queen's bedside table, but I wouldn't be surprised if she didn't sometimes dip into the classics in my sense.